بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Welcome to our course on Living the Quran, in which we look at this wonderful text by Imam Ghazali on the adab of the Quran and try to see how we can bring the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our lives. This book that is the answer to our call for guidance when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guide us to the straight path. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers immediately in the opening of Surah Al-Baqarah. Alif lam mim, thalika al-kitabu la rayba fih. Hudan lil-muttaqin. Alif lam mim, that is the book in which there is no doubt. A guidance for those of piety, for those of taqwa. So, we're going to begin by looking at the definition of the Qur'an and the virtues of the Qur'an as explained in the Qur'an and the Sunnah. That is a subject matter of Lesson 1. We'll be looking in Lesson 2 at the outward manners of the Qur'an, and these are important because the outward is an expression of one's inward. And having looked at these outward manners, we're going to move in lessons 3 and 4 at looking at one of the aspects that makes this work of Imam Ghazali one of the most powerful works on the adab with the Quran. And these are the inward manners of Quranic recitation, and these are 10 inward manners that he discusses. And then we will close by looking at keys to bringing the Quran into our lives and a question answer session in which many related questions are asked. So let's begin by looking at the excellence of the Quran. In order to understand something, you need to know its definition. You need to know its definition, what it is. And it is unfortunate that very often we do not reflect on the realities of things around us. And when we don't reflect on the realities of these things, we do not appreciate them for what they truly are. We fail to appreciate them for what they truly are. So we have the Qur'an, and we say, yes, well, the Qur'an is the book of Allah. But we do not reflect on what does it mean that it is the book of Allah. And given that we do not reflect, we do not benefit from the Qur'an as we otherwise could. So what is the Qur'an, this book that describes itself, that إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ, that truly this Qur'an guides to all that is most upright. This Qur'an that is described in the Qur'an as being the means of people going out from manifold darknesses into the one true light. This work, this book that the Prophet describes, that truly Allah raises some people by this book and abases others. This work of which it is said that its marvels never cease, as Imam Busiri put it, لَهَا مَعَانٍ مِثْلَ مَوْجِ الْبَحْرِ فِي مَدَدٍ. It has meanings like the waves of the ocean unceasing. And we know and we'll see the tremendousness of the reward for reciting the Qur'an. But the question remains, what is the Qur'an? And in order to understand something, it helps us to define it. So what is the definition of the Qur'an? Right? What is the definition of the Qur'an? And this is helpful for us in order to appreciate what the Qur'an is. There are various aspects to the definition of the Qur'an. The Qur'an is defined as being the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, through the angel Jibreel, peace be upon him. And this revealed text is inimitable in content, style, and teachings. It was sent as a guidance to all creation. and the Quran is recited by tongues and written in texts, and its order is revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are key aspects of the definition. We say that the Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, revealed to the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, through the angel Jibreel. The Quran is inimitable in content and style and teachings. It was revealed as a guidance for all creation, both humans and jinn, for those morally responsible, and also for other creation, not as a guidance of moral responsibility, but a guidance of honoring, right? Even inanimate objects are honored by the Quran being recited in their presence. And it is recited by tongues and written in texts, and its order is revealed, right? Its order is revealed. It begins with Surah Al-Fatiha and ends with Surah An-Nas. And we know decisively that it is preserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by divine promise. Verily we have sent down this Quran, and verily it is we who shall preserve it. So this is our understanding of the Quran. The Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as guidance. Right? And the other aspects of the definition we have seen. Now, a question arises here that when you see this definition, right, and no doubt, you know, each of the aspects of this definition, most of you are likely to have been familiar with. But if you were to ponder, a question arises right away, which is that how is the Quran a revealed text? Right? How is the Quran, which is a revealed text, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Right? Because the Quran is revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the act of revelation might signify some element of contingency, right? It is recited and written. It has a beginning and a middle and an end. Yet we say that the Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to understand that the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is divine speech? Divine speech is an attribute of the divine. It's an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we know, is eternal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists beyond time. Time is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah exists beyond time, and His attributes exist with Him beyond time. Allah is necessarily characterized by His attributes beyond time. Time does not relate to nor affect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His attributes. So if we say that speech is an attribute of Allah, then how can we say that the Quran is the speech of Allah? Does it mean that, you know, when you have a copy of the Quran, that you are holding the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala itself? Right? That would be patently absurd. Right? You know, so if you put that text in your pocket, are you putting the speech of Allah in your pocket? No. Right? No. How is the Quran the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because we do affirm, right? It is textually affirmed in the primary texts, in many a hadith, that the Al-Quran kalamullah, the Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And understanding this relates to understanding how meanings are understood from words, right? When you say that A equals B, this relationship that A is B, right? A is B, this relationship can be of various types. When you say that A is B, this could be a relationship of identity, right? Where A is completely defined by B. So you say, for example, the human being is a rational animal. B, you know, that rational animal completely defines what A is. Right? This is a relationship of identity. A is B, meaning A equals B completely, right? So B defines A. Another way that you can say that A is B, where B is a significant part of A. This the first relationship was of identity. This is a partitive relationship, so to speak, where B is a significant part of A. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-Hajju Arafa." Hajj is Arafa. And we know that standing at Arafa on the ninth day of Dhul-Hijjah is one of the major acts of Hajj, right? In the Hanafi school, for example, it is one of the three integrals of Hajj. It is one of the three integrals of Hajj. But it is certainly not Hajj itself, right? It is certainly not Hajj itself. So how does the Prophet ﷺ say that Al-Hajju Arafa, Hajj is Arafa? A is B, because B is a significant part of A, right? B is a significant part of A, and it is mentioned for emphasis, right? That one of the most significant acts of Hajj is standing at Arafah. Why? Because the other two integrals of Hajj are getting in the Ihram, which is almost inevitable, and making the obligatory Tawaf, which is hard to miss. Whereas you could miss Arafah, you could get lost, right? Especially in the old days. So, similarly, the Prophet ﷺ said, At-tawbatu nadam, repentance is remorse. Repentance is remorse. So A is B, right? Repentance is remorse. Now, is all that repentance requires remorse? No. Repentance is a part, is a significant part of... So remorse is a significant part of repentance. A is B, repentance is remorse. B here, remorse is a significant part of repentance. So what does that mean? It means that A is B, B is mentioned here, right? Repentance is remorse, as has come in the authentic hadith. Remorse is mentioned because it's important. We know that repentance has three conditions: leaving the sin, remorse for having sinned, and resolve never to return. The most important of these three conditions, the Prophet ﷺ is highlighting, is remorse. Because if remorse is found, and it's true, then the other two conditions would, by implication, get fulfilled. So, the Prophet ﷺ defined repentance by a part of it. A is B, repentance is remorse, i.e. that remorse is a significant part of repentance. This is a second way that meanings are understood, that A is B is understood. Another way that A is B is when A entails B, right? There's a where A entails B. So for example, we say, you know, the Prophet ﷺ was asked, what is faith? And he said, to greet others and to feed others. And you'll find a number of such hadiths in the Book of Faith in Sahih al-Bukhari. Right? He defined faith as being to greet others and to feed others. Now, that is not a relationship of identity. Right? If you greet someone and you feed someone, it doesn't make you a believer, a person of iman. Nor are greeting people and feeding people a part of faith itself. Rather, they are entailed by faith. So the third type of relationship is a relationship of entailment, where A entails B, right? A indicates B, right? Or B indicates A, right? It's a relationship of entailment or indication. So how is the Quran, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, The Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it indicates some of that which is indicated by the divine attribute of speech. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a beginninglessly eternal attribute of speech. This attribute indicates meanings. This attribute, this eternal attribute, indicates meanings. Imagine if you were addressed directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without a mediary. Right? It would be unbearable. Right? It would be overwhelming. It would be overwhelming. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even when he, revelation used to come in the beginning, it would be overwhelming for him. Once it is reported, revelation came to him when he was on a camel, and the camel started buckling under the tremendousness of what is happening. This is God himself addressing you. Even through an intermediary, it is something heavy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes revelation in that we shall give you a weighty word. Right? Inna sanulqa alika qawlan thaqila. Right? It is weighty. So imagine without mediary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, had we sent down this Quran on a mountain, you would have seen it humbled. Right? And crumble in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this beginningless eternal attribute of speech. It indicates meanings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his mercy, sent to us a revealed text. Right? A revealed text that indicates that this text, right, that is in a human tongue, the text indicates meanings. What are the meanings it indicates? It indicates some of what is indicated by the divine attribute of speech. So the Quran indicates what is indicated by the divine attribute of speech, and because of that we say the Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So we say that the Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not because the Quran itself, like the Quran, the text, we do not say the text is the attribute of Allah. Right? Because that would entail affirming absurd things. Rather, we say the Quran is the speech of Allah. Why? Because it indicates what the divine attribute of speech indicates. Okay. So now, of course, the question that asks itself is, so what? Right? So what? What is significant about this? Reflect on it. Reflect on it. The Quran is the speech of Allah, because the Quran indicates what Allah's attribute of speech indicates. Right? The Quran indicates what Allah's attribute of speech indicates. So consider, what happens when you are reciting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When you open the Quran, okay, when you open the Quran, you read the text of the Quran. Okay, you read the text of the Quran. What is taking place? What is taking place? When we read the Quran, usually we don't think anything. So, gotta read the Quran, you open it, okay. And you're done, right? And if you're a little more conscious, you have in mind that you're reading for the sake of Allah, that you're getting some reward. If you're a little more conscious, you're trying to understand some of its meanings, and so on. And that's good. But you are missing out on the significance of what is taking place. Because when you recite the Quran, you read the text of the Quran, what is being indicated is that which the divine attribute of speech indicates. So what's coming from you, this recitation, right? And what is the Quran? The Quran means the recited text, right? This recitation, this is what's coming forth from, this is what you are doing, you are reciting. But in reality, what is happening is something that is tremendous. Because when you are reciting the Quran, right, when you are reciting the Quran, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is addressing you, right? When you are reciting the Quran, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is addressing you. It is the speech of Allah. Right? So when you recite the Quran, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is addressing you. This is the tremendousness of the Quran. And this is why you know, we should reflect on things. So when you open the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are entering into the divine presence. When you begin reciting, you are, what is significant is not this action of yours, but rather the reality of what is taking place, which is you are being addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an address of the Lord to His servant, an address of the Creator to His creation, an address of the Beloved to His lover. Right? Allah is our Beloved. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, and those who believe are most intense in their love of Allah. Allah is our Beloved. Right? This is your Beloved addressing you. So what is your attitude? Right? What is your attitude? This is Allah addressing you. So you try, you are attentive. You are have a sense of awe. You observe proper manners. You try to understand the address. Everything that we will be mentioning in this course follows from this reality. Right? That the Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah's address to you. And if you reflect on this and try to make yourself conscious of it, you'll understand the tremendousness of the virtues that are mentioned of the Quran. And the virtues of the Quran are beyond our imagination, right? And as one of the great poets of Islam, Imam Sharafuddin al-Busiri said about the Quran, لَهَا مَعَانٍ مِثْلَ مَوْجِ الْبَحْرِ فِي مَدَدٍ, that the Quran has meanings like the waves of the ocean unceasing. It has meanings like the waves of the ocean unceasing. The Quran itself describes itself in a number of ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that the Quran is a healing for that which is in the hearts. شِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, and it is a cure, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it as a light, that there has come to you from Allah a light and a manifest Quran. Allah describes the Quran as a life-giving water that gives life to the earth that was dead. And Ibn Abbas explained that this is that the earth that was dead is the hearts of people. And when the Quran, when the water of guidance, that is the Quran, comes, it gives life to the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ, verily this Quran guides to all that is most upright. Verily this Quran guides to all that is most upright. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the opening surah of the Quran about why the Quran is needed. Why the Quran is needed. The sincere seeker of God recognizes around him that there is creation. And from that, they recognize that there is a creator. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, Lord of all creation, Lord of all the worlds. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. You see the bounty and gifts of Allah upon you. You say, He is indeed the merciful, the compassionate. Maliki Yawm Al-Din. You will die. And there must be a purpose to this life. So He is the Lord of the Day of Judgment, the Master of the Day of Judgment, the Day of Requital. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. You alone we worship, and you alone do we rely upon. But how? How do we worship you? How do we turn to you? The human being is lost. The human being is at a loss. Even when they come to realize the oneness of God, when they come to that true seeking of God, they come to that the prophetic realization. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before revelation came, he would spend days and weeks in this cave outside Mecca in worship and turning to God, right? But how do you turn to God and how do you live your life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the state that وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى, and he found you lost, so he guided you. He found you lost. And the state of loss of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the loss of seeking the way most pleasing to Allah. How do you seek guidance? How do you turn to Allah in the way most pleasing to Allah? How do you live your life as an individual and as a society? The human being has this urgent, pressing need. Ihdina, right? Ihdina, guide us. Guide us to what? Ihdina الصراط المستقيم. Guide us to the straight path. What is the straight path? The straight path is the direct way to one's desired goal. What is your desired goal? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your eternal standing with your Lord. لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر, for whoever seeks Allah and the last day. So the straight path is your means of seeking Allah and the last day in this life. So guide us. The sincere seeker pleads. The divine response comes right away. Alif Lam Mim. Right? The opening of Surah Al-Baqarah. Alif Lam Mim. And it begins with these, you know, with these singular letters, the huruf al-muqatta'a. Why? Reminding us that this is not like any human, this is not human speech. This is unique. This is divine. It is unlike speech. It is something very special. Alif Lam Mim. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This is the book, or literally, that is the book in which there is no doubt. What is it? This book of certainty, what is it? The Quran defines itself. هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, a guidance for those mindful. And it says, a guidance, it's in the indefinite. هُدًى, right? That it is absolute guidance. It is not just guidance in particular matters, absolute guidance, right? For those mindful, right? For the people of piety, right? For those who are God-fearing, al-muttaqin. And then they're described in the rest of those verses, and you should read the opening of Surah Al-Baqarah to see what are the characteristics of those mindful of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us much about the virtues of the Quran. He told us alayhi salatu wasalam, khayrukum man ta'allama al-Quran wa 'allamahu. The best of you are those who learn and teach the Quran. And this learning and teaching the Quran relates to learning both the, has various levels. It's to learn how to recite the Quran, and then reciting it oneself and conveying that recitation to others. Why? Because none of you believes until they wish for others as they wish for themselves. Just as you learn the Quran yourself in order to be able to recite it and benefit from it, you teach it to others so that they can benefit from it as well, and to learn its meanings so that you can act upon it, so they can act upon its guidance, because it's a guidance for those mindful of Allah. And then conveying that to others so that they can benefit themselves, right? So you seek personal and collective benefit through the Quran. The best of you are those who learn and teach the Quran, right? Because it is the way to all good. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told us that ahlul Qurani ahlullahi wa khassatuhu, that the people of Quran are the people of Allah and His most chosen. And this ascription that the people of Allah is an ascription of honor, right? It's an ascription of honor, which is clarified by the Prophet ﷺ, that and his most chosen, right? The people of Allah, the people closest to Allah, the people most pleasing to Allah, the people highest in rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the people of the Quran, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Hujurat, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, verily the most honored of you to Allah are those most pious, right? Are those most pious. And what is, how do you become pious? By holding fast to the Quran, because the Quran is a guidance for those of piety, for those mindful, for the people of taqwa, right? So the people of Quran, who are the people of Quran? The people of Quran are those who fulfill, the people of the Quran are the people who have a true connection with the Quran, who take the Quran as hablullah, as the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they hold fast to, right? As the light by which they tread the straight path, the means by which they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the people who recite the Quran by day and by night and who act upon its teachings, the people who have the proper manners with the Quran, both the proper outward manners and the proper inward manners. And these are the manners that we'll be looking at in the upcoming lessons. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told us, right, and we'll be looking at some of the other virtues mentioned about the Quran, and you can read about some of these virtues in Imam Ghazali's text in chapter 1. He mentioned some of these virtues and also a warning about those negligent of the Quran, and you can read that section and benefit from it inshallah. And we've also provided you Imam Qurtubi's introduction to his tafsir, and it has a number of other investigations. These are suggested readings, you don't have to do them all right now, you know, but these are useful. What you can read now, read it. What you can't, keep it and read it later. And there's also the chapter on the virtues of the Quran from Imam Nawawi's collection of prophetic hadiths, Riyad al-Salihin. We look at some of the hadiths from Imam Nawawi's work. Amongst them is a hadith related by Imam Muslim on the authority of Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the companions, who said that I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, اقرأوا القرآن فإنه يأتي يوم القيامة شفيعا لأصحابه. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, recite the Quran, for it shall come on the day of judgment as an intercessor for its people. Recite the Quran, commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for it shall come on the day of judgment as an intercessor for its people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the grantor of benefit, the one who raises and abases. But he, as he tells us in Ayat al-Kursi, in the 255th verse of the Quran, that none can intercede with Allah except those whom He permits. And there are certain things that intercede for you, such as your Quranic recitation. It shall intercede on your behalf, right, if you recite it sincerely. Because we also know that the Prophet ﷺ told us in one of the hadiths related in the 40 Nawawi that وَالْقُرْآنُ حُجَّةٌ لَكَ أَوْ عَلَيْكَ, the Quran is a proof for you or against you. The Quran is a proof for you or against you. And we saw the hadith that the best of you are those who learn the Quran and recite it. And that is related by Imam Bukhari on the authority of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan. And some people find it difficult to recite the Quran, right? They may be new Muslims, or they may have started practicing later in life, or they never got the opportunity of learning how to recite the Quran properly. So regarding such people, there's a beautiful hadith, and this is related by both Bukhari and Muslim, the two most authentic works of prophetic hadiths. The the wife of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, Sayyidah Aisha, may Allah be well pleased with her, related that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, الَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَهُوَ مَاهِرٌ بِهِ مَعَ السَّفَرَةِ الْكِرَامِ الْبَرَرَةِ وَالَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَيَتَتَعْتَعُ فِيهِ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَاقٌ لَهُ أَجْرَانٌ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the one who is expert at reciting the Qur'an, right, the one who recites the Qur'an and has expertise in reciting the Qur'an and is proficient in reciting the Qur'an, will be with the highest noble righteous angels. And the one who recites the Qur'an and struggles in their recitation and finds difficulty in reciting shall have twofold reward. The one who recites the Qur'an and has difficulty and struggles in their recitation shall have twofold reward. What is this twofold reward? The reward of recitation and the reward of your struggle. Of course, the one who's proficient has a higher rank, right? But there's twofold reward for reciting it and struggling, because that struggle is itself an expression of sincerity. The struggle is itself an expression of sincerity. And Imam Muslim related on the authority of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be well pleased with him, the second Khalifa of Islam, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ أَقْوَامًا وَيَضَعُ بِهِ آخَرِينَ, that verily Allah shall raise with this book some people and will abase others. Who will be raised by it? Those who recite the Qur'an with sincerity, with seeking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with acting on its teachings and making their acting on its teachings a means of seeking their Lord. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told us that إِنَّ الَّذِي لَيْسَ فِي جَوْفِهِ شَيْءٌ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ كَالْبَيْتِ الْخَرِبِ. It's related by Imam Tirmidhi on the authority of Ibn Abbas that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one in whose chest is nothing of the Qur'an is like a broken down house, right? Is like a broken down house. So you are like a house, right? And the life of your house, right? The edifice of the house of your faith, right? And the Prophet ﷺ used this metaphor of your faith, your religious practice, your Islam being like a building that has foundations. What are your foundations? The foundations are the five pillars. Your affirmation, you know, Islam is built on five. Affirming that there's no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and establishing the prayer, and paying the zakat, and fasting Ramadan, and Hajj. These are what Islam is built on. But the one who's bereft of Quran is like a house that's built on foundations, but it is broken down, right? Or it's not been built properly. Right? So this is, and it also tells us in the positive, that if you do recite the Qur'an, this is when you perfect your faith, right? If you recite it as it deserves to be recited, right? If you recite it as it deserves to be recited. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told us that on what is the consequence of that strong attachment to the Qur'an, in a hadith related by Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr, the Prophet ﷺ said, يُقَالُ لِصَاحِبِ الْقُرْآنِ اِقْرَأْ وَارْتَقِي وَرَتِّلْ كَمَا كُنْتَ تُرَتِّلُ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ مَنْزِلَتَكَ عِنْدَ آخِرِ آيَةٍ تَقْرَأُهَا. It shall be said to the person of Qur'an, the person of Qur'an, the person who learned Qur'an, who recited Qur'an, who acted on the Qur'an, who was attached to the Qur'an, who lived the Qur'an, recite and rise. It shall be said to them on the Day of Judgment, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of these people, recite and rise, recite and ascend, and recite as you used to recite melodiously as you used to recite melodiously in this life. For your station shall be your standing in paradise, your rank in paradise will be with the last verse you recited, to the extent of the last verse you recited. So your recitation of the Quran will add up and raise you in stations of closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eternally. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the people of Quran, who are the people of Allah and His most chosen. These last hadiths that we read are from Riyad al-Salihin. We've provided that for you, and you can read those hadiths over there. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He make us people who have this strong attachment with the Quran and these texts that we have recommended. Help us appreciate this meaning. And we also recommend familiarizing ourselves with the sciences of the Quran, and there's a couple of recommendations. There's a brief introduction on the sciences of the Quran that we've provided with this course, and there's two books that we would recommend, amongst others, a work also by Mufti Taqi Usmani called An Approach to the Quranic Sciences, which is Introduction to the Sciences of the Quran, and a book on the history of the Quran, how the Quran was transmitted and preserved, called The History of the Quranic Text. This is a wonderful work by Sheikh Muhammad Mustafa Azmi, M.M. Azmi, published by Islamic Trust UK. So, in review, we looked at the definition of the Quran, right? We looked at the definition of the Quran. What is the Quran? Right? It is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as guidance, right? And it is this inimitable book. And we look at the definition. We touched upon what does it signify that the Quran is the speech of Allah, and that it is the speech of Allah, because the Quran, this revealed text, indicates meanings, and it indicates some of that which is indicated by Allah's divine attribute, by this eternal attribute that Allah possesses, which is the attribute of speech. What does speech do? It indicates meanings. So the Quran is the speech of Allah because it indicates some of that which is indicated by the divine attribute of speech. What is the big deal about that? The big deal is that when you open the Quran, when you recite the Quran, what is most significant is not what you are doing, but that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is addressing you. And when we appreciate that, we can begin to appreciate the virtues of the Quran. Why the people attached to the Quran are the people of Allah, because the people of Quran are the people who are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they are listening to the divine address. They are listening to the divine address. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the people of Allah and His most chosen.